have a chat to Neil Wilson, who is the chairman of the VRC, about the tour, but a number of other issues as well. Here's a little snapshot about what it means for the local communities who have been successful. One of the 30 destinations for this year's Lexus Melbourne Cup Tour. This is Sally Cannon, who is the owner of one of the local bakeries down at Apollo Bay, and she put in one of the successful entries to get the cup touring through her town.
It was so exciting. To be honest, I'd forgotten I'd applied, and then I got the letter and I was squealing. I just couldn't believe it. And I was with some friends and I showed them the letter and I was basically just jumping up and down on the spot. I was so excited. Most definitely. I think it'll be a great sort of spirit lifter for everybody. I mean, people that don't even, are not involved in horse racing or even have a bet or anything, I'm sure they'll be just as excited as everybody else. Obviously, it's an iconic race, it's an iconic trophy, and to have it down here and to show people of Apollo Bay, I think will be an absolutely fabulous day.
Yeah, it's summed up beautifully by Sally. Look forward to seeing the cup down at Apollo Bay, and Neil Wilson, the chairman of the VRC, would be very happy to hear that, because that's the passion that it engenders throughout any town the Loving Cup goes to. Neil, good morning. Very exciting news to get the tour back, not in the online form that it was last year, but to get the cup itself travelling through these towns with all the crowds.
Good morning, Michael. Wasn't that great to hear that discussion? That's what it's all about, really, bringing the cup into these communities and having that excitement when it arrives.
How important is the Melbourne Cup Tour? We know it's been around for, is it the 19th year now, and it's traversed all over Australia, all over the world, but how important is the tour to our most iconic race?
Michael, it's a really important part of the Lexus Melbourne Cup program, and this time of year, here we are, you know, in June, talking about the Lexus Melbourne Cup and the famous race on the first Tuesday of November, and to start the discussions now and over the next few months, taking the Lexus Melbourne Cup around to these various communities. It's so important for so many reasons. This is really a national presentation of the cup, and it's interesting today that across national papers in every city, this story is being carried with almost towards the front of the paper. So that says something about just the importance of this great trophy, this great race, and the importance to Australia more generally. And I guess when you think about last year, where every second adult Australian listened or watched the Lexus Melbourne Cup, and a viewing audience reach of 750 million people around the world, that this is, you know, this is an enormous thing for Australia, and that the Lexus Melbourne Cup Tour is a very important part of us taking the cup to these towns, and it's very gratifying and humbling that the VRC has this opportunity to do this.
It starts on Saturday, the 3rd of July, where the Cup visits Port Augusta, and it weaves its way through the 30 destinations on the way to Flemington for the first Tuesday in November. And last year, it was a virtual tour, and sadly, we didn't have crowds on course. But as you mentioned, it was a record viewing audience through 10 and online as well. So this year, the countdown is on to, fingers crossed, crowds as well being back. We know we've had a hiccup in a recent lockdown, but are we still looking and hoping to get large crowd numbers for the Spring Carnival, Neil?
Yes, Michael, that's absolutely the team is working very hard at the moment on 4 days of crowds attending this year's Cup Week. And we're hoping at this stage that we'll have more than 60,000 people each day. Now, obviously, we need to take into account any prevailing conditions that are related to COVID and take on board advice from government and health organisations. But we're hoping between now and November that those plans that we're working on at that level will be the plans that are activated. And we're really excited because last year, as you say, we didn't have anyone on course, and particularly for our members, that was very disappointing. But last year, we also developed a range of things for people that couldn't attend to experience the day from their homes and from various locations. So we'll be doing that again this year as well. So we're really hoping that we have that great combination of what we learned last year, as well as being prepared if we need to revert back to any of that. But certainly our primary focus is getting 60,000 plus on track. And going back to the tour there, Michael, that the national sweep that was introduced 3 years ago sort of culminates on Cup Day and in the Cup, where 24 of the local towns that we're visiting with the Lexus Melbourne Cup Tour are allocated a barrier in the Lexus Melbourne Cup. And if the winning horse comes from their nominated barrier, they receive $50,000 for their local charity. And that's been a fantastic initiative and really successful. And last year, with Twilight Payment winning, we saw Kangaroo Island in South Australia receive that $50,000, and the generous owners of Twilight Payment matched that. And so Kangaroo Island received $100,000, which they put towards a new plane for the Royal Flying Doctor Service, and now they're able to take more people in that plane. So that's just sort of the extent of the story and the extent of this tour and how we can reach these different areas and hopefully through these different initiatives help them do what they need to do.
There's no doubt it has been one of the great initiatives over the last couple of years. And as you mentioned, that $50,000 turned into $100,000 for Kangaroo Island, which had been ravaged by those bushfires. So we might put the challenge out there to whoever wins this year's Lexus Melbourne
right.
Cup. The standard has been set. We will expect a matching of that $50,000 for the winning town in the sweep. And we look forward to counting down and telling all the stories of those towns towards the Melbourne Cup as well. Neil, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of discussion. One thing that this year's Melbourne Cup build-up is not lacking, that is media content with a discussion surrounding the new protocols. What, as chairman, have you made of the past 7 days from Aidan O'Brien's comments and subsequent commentary surrounding what may occur this spring?
Since we made the announcement with Racing Victoria, Michael, we've been in contact regularly, late-night phone calls and discussions with a range of participants, both locally and globally, about the announcements. We wanted to continue our dialogue and engagement to hear both the positive aspects and things that people are supporting and also the areas that people needed to find out more information and some areas where people are saying that this is going to be a problem. I think what we've seen is that this is still unfolding as to how it's actually going to work. I mean, there are 41 changes we're talking about. Racing Victoria is working through those. There are some that are more straightforward than others. There are some that have some hurdles appearing that perhaps weren't anticipated, but that's reasonable to expect a scale of change like we're making, that there would be some areas that needed to be worked through to levels of detail. So as we've said on a number of occasions, this is very much a long game for us. We expect there'll be some impact this year, but over time we expect that there'll be adjustments made and considerations taken on board, and we also believe that participants will adjust to the prevailing rules. And if we come back to why we've done what we've done in conjunction with Racing Victoria, it's about making the race the safest race. And on the back of the conversation we've just had about its impact and its coverage and its importance to this country, it needs to be a race that doesn't have that surrounding it in terms of its safety. So that's still front and centre for us, and we'll continue to provide Racing Victoria with our input and our thinking about some of this feedback. But we're really comfortable that they'll work through those processes and reach an outcome that is satisfactory for most of the participants. Some we won't be able to satisfy, but we've got a long way to go yet before we nail this completely, but we've started the journey.
Big announcements in the last couple of days to reprise money, Neil. I know the VRC have done very well. A number of the major races have had significant prize money lifts. I thought it was interesting that there was a determination for the biggest races, the Caulfield Cup, the Cox Plate, the Melbourne Cup, for that prize money to remain the same at the top end and more, I suppose, focus on lower tier, when I say that, not that low, but the lower prize money races. Was that something that you were very comfortable with as well?
Well, we like all the other clubs put in a submission, and I think the way that we do that is we know that we won't get everything satisfied necessarily, but we're trying to put in sort of a submission that paints a picture for not only this year, but how we're thinking beyond this year. So we were pleased to make progress on a number of things. We were certainly looking at our carnival week, and we've seen our return back to pre-COVID-19 levels and races back to the levels there, and certainly the Kennedy Cantala and the Daly Sprint back to $2 million is a great outcome. We now have 13 races at Flemington that are over $1 million, which we've never had before. So that's very exciting. And with the general uplift across the group in listed races that Racing Victoria has done across the board, that's certainly important for us as well. It's also, if we look at autumn, we've been trying to focus on autumn, and this year we have the All-Star Mile. So we're looking at three Saturdays over 2 weeks. So thinking about that in a sort of three race meeting over 2 week, almost carnival type format, or and joining together, you know, what will be three great days of racing. So that's sort of important to us to see some of the increases we've seen across those days as well. The Black Caviar Lightning also going to $1 million for the first time. That's very exciting. And leading races with the Turnbull Stakes reaching 750 as it leads into the carnival. So we're pretty pleased with where the changes have occurred and a good spread across our Cup Week, our Autumn Carnival, and across our sprinting and our staying our races. We always think about the next step as well, and we'll be looking at you know, the Cup's always being reviewed in our world, and we look at different aspects of the Cup. It does have a unique status, as we've just been talking about, and we need to make sure that it remains prominent in terms of its position both here and globally, so we continue to review that as well.
And the All-Star Mile that you mentioned, we spoke to Chairman Brian Kruger on Monday, and he said that there is a review of the All-Star Mile, which is ongoing, and that could have any ramifications from the prize money, although I'm pretty confident it'll stay at $5 million, but maybe some of the conditions and the actual day that the race is run on. Would you be happy to see it move before the running of the Australian Cup for this year or next year, Neil?
We've made a submission, Michael, to Racing Victoria on our thoughts about the All-Star Mile, and it's wide-ranging, covering all those points you've just made, and putting forward our thoughts, particularly from our racing subcommittee, which is very skilled and capable of thinking through these things. Our position, which we've been public on, is we would prefer to see it as a lead-in race to the Australian Cup, so 2 weeks before the Australian Cup. So if you saw that three-Saturday period over the 2 weeks, it would be the first of those. But we also understand where it's been historically sort of trying to culminate in that grand final of autumn. So we have a view that we can get better return on the positioning of the race and the profile and brand of the race by packaging it into that first kickoff Saturday and then culminating in the Australian Cup at the end there on that final Saturday.
Plenty of news, Neil. Plenty of exciting news as well. And the announcement of the Lexus Melbourne Cup Tour starting today. It begins the build-up to our Spring Carnival, where we are all hopeful of having 60,000 spectators on each of the 4 days of the Melbourne Cup Carnival as we continue the countdown to this year's Lexus Melbourne Cup. Neil, appreciate your time.
Very welcome, Michael.